Well, you can do all those things and so much more. Just grab a seat in the chair or the floor. Sit back, relax, recline. While she drops another casual line. You're tuned into Casually Molly with Molly and Bergie.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Casually Molly podcast. I am your host, Molly Ambergy, and I am so excited to have you listen to this next episode with comedian Alex Grubarb. He is hilarious. I honestly, and I know I say this about a lot of people, but I really enjoyed talking with him. He will be at Helium Comedy Club Garage May 3rd and 4th. We did have a little moment where he had different dates. So in the beginning where we say the wrong dates, just ignore us. But yes, just make sure that you visit the Helium Comedy Club website for his show May 3rd and 4th. It's going to be very funny. He's a very well-rounded comedian. He even has a comedy album with Helium Records. So make sure you look that up as well, just to get a little bit of a taste of what you're going to see before you go to the show. Before we do start our podcast, though, obviously with the podcast, we have a bunch of shows. If you follow us at the Casually Molly Podcast on Instagram or visit thecasuallymollypodcast.com, we'll go ahead and tell you what those are. On April 14th, we've got the Casual Comedy Open Mic. That will be at our home base, the Golden Hoosier, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. If you are a comedian or a out-of-town comedian and you'd like to sign up, just make sure that you come to the Golden Hoosier and the upstairs level at 6 p.m. It's just sign up in person. You show up, go up. We try to keep it within that 7 to 9 p.m. time frame, though. And then, of course, we are bringing back our monthly showcase. This is Casually Happening. That is going to be on April 17th at 7:30 p.m. That is going to headline. He has actually been on our podcast. He's a regular here in St. Louis, a comedian, Scott James. He's very funny, including our featuring acts, Ronaldo Mercado and Andrew Gaffigan. They are also St. Louis-based comedians that also travel around the Midwest. So you will not want to miss that. Make sure that you visit our website or go to Eventbrite for those tickets. Lastly, we are really excited to announce a new show that we will be doing under the Casually Molly podcast umbrella. It is called Tell Me More, and it will be at Helium Comedy Club on Thursday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. And it is the type of show where the audience gets to decide what is going to happen. You will not want to miss out on this. It is not up on their website yet, but just stay tuned. If you follow us on our social platforms, you'll be able to get tickets. You'll be able to see who's on the lineup, and we can't wait to give you that announcement. But just make sure to mark your calendars for April 14th for the open mic, April 17th for the showcase, May 2nd for our storytelling show, and then, of course, with Alex Grubarb, headlining at Helium Garage May 3rd through the 4th. So if you've got all of those dates down, that is a comedy date that you can go on any time, any frame. But we would be happy to see you at all of those shows. But enough about me and enough about the shows we have coming up. More importantly, let's talk about Alex Grubarb, everybody. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Casually Molly podcast. I am your host, Molly Ambergy, and we interview different comedians locally as well from around the country. Also, if you're a loyal listener and casually listening to us all the time, thank you very much. But right now, we are so excited to introduce this next guest. He is fantastic. He is actually going to be at Helium Comedy Club April 12th and the 13th. So just make sure that you go and see him headline. We're going to learn more about the show in a second. So please welcome Alex Grubarb, everybody. Let's hear it. Let's hear the round of applause. Well, yes.
Hey, I'll clap myself, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having me, Molly.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. So where are you currently right now while we're doing this podcast?
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yeah. You know, it's kind of down the road. I was here. I used to live here at the time. So I was in town doing some other pods before this, and probably gonna just hit some stuff, kind of see some old friends after this kind of thing. You know, Philly's like my old stomping grounds.
Okay, nice. What do you like? What's like one of your favorite things to do in Philly?
Oh man, Philly's the best. The food's great. I don't know. I mean, even when I moved to Philly, and it's still a thing, it's still a big thing here. I don't know if people drink out there, if there's any people that like a little of the sauce, but they do just like a shot and a beer special is like real common. It's called a citywide.
Nice.
So you can kind of get them citywide.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And people kind of make their own thing. So I don't know. It's just a really good, like, bounce from place to place city, honestly. Like, it's not always a place you kind of post up for the whole day. I've already been to three places here. So maybe that's just me. Like, every time I'm in Philly, I feel like I hit so many different things. You get some food, you get some drinks, see some old friends. Everybody's, you know, friendly in a very Philly way.
<It's>, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
I love that. So, I mean, there's also just great stuff to do. There's tons of museums and they're all like, some of them are really weird and crazy. Like there's the Mutter Museum, pretty famously, is the Museum of Medical Abnormalities.
Oh, wait, like what is that?
It's crazy. It's really crazy. It's the College of Physicians of Philadelphia. So it's like a 200 and, you know, something year old college. And they just had tons of like weird medical science stuff. And so it's a lot of like old medical advancements, like very primitive now. But at one point it was like, this is how it was done. And so it's a really crazy museum. You'd be shocked at how many kids are running around while you're like, crazy weirded out as an adult. But yeah, there's really fancy museums too with like at art.
Of course, but, yes.
Those are also great. Yeah, but Philly's just a great town. You know, there's tons of, it's a major American city. You can do anything, you know, like everything goes on. You can find every sporting event, you know, you can, you know, tons of stuff. It's great.
Yeah, no, I think actually when you were saying like, I don't know who likes to drink out there, but it's funny where we record this podcast. We record it at Midcoast Media, which is located in the heart of Grand Center, the artistic district in St. Louis. And literally right across the street from here is Schlafly. It's not Schlafly. It's Urban Chestnut, actually. So, But yeah, it's a brewery. We do have Schlafly around here as well, more downtown area. But Urban Chestnut is the other brewery. And then we're really well known when you come to St. Louis, April 12th through the 13th, when you're headlining at Helium Comedy Club, go to the website and get your tickets. We're really well known for a lot of fried stuff as well. So we've got toasted ravioli. That's the big thing. We've got a neighborhood called The Hill that's around here. And so there's a lot of like very authentic Italian restaurants, and some of them even merge with different cultures, like the Greek culture and whatnot. But yeah, we're also known for barbecue. So on the other side of here, there's a place called Pappy's. And so Pappy's is like the go-to. Everybody goes there. So since you're such a celebrity, you'll absolutely relate to all the celebrities that have signed the menus on the walls in Pappy's. So
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I like that, signing the menu. That's better than like a headshot sometimes. I don't know. There's something about signing the menu that I think is really like its own thing. I like that.
Yeah.
Barbecue in general. I like comparing all the barbecues out there, truth be told, you know. But yeah, I like Missouri barbecue. It's really good.
Nice. So you've been here before to Missouri?
Yeah, I've been to Helium before. I've passed through. I've been to, I always forget the town's name. The Deja Vu Comedy Club used to be there. It's like right in the center.
Okay. So
there's a big college town.
Is it Columbia, maybe? Or
yes, Columbia.
Okay. Gotcha.
Sorry, I always blank.
That's okay.
Columbia, and I'm like, too generic to stay in my head for some reason. And then I've passed through Kansas City, you know, I think. Is there an Oklahoma Joe's in Kansas City?
You know, I don't know. Probably. We could do even a quick check.
I've been to Oklahoma Joe's and I think it was around Kansas City. Again, I was just driving through.
That's okay.
Sorry,
if it makes you feel any better, I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. So even for me, even though I'm in St. Louis now, there are times where I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like some people are like, do you know where this is, maybe where this was? And I'm like, possibly. Let me see. Oklahoma Joe's, Kansas City. You are correct, sir. There was.
So I've been to that and it was like a gas station. So and people were like, go to the one that's in a gas station.
Oh,
I don't know. I haven't been to another.
Or maybe it's Joe's Kansas City BBQ. There's a lot of different barbecue places. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. There's a lot of different neighboring. And a lot of things, too, I've noticed is like, even with the, I mean, not to like bring up the pandemic, but it definitely like took out some restaurants and some different businesses and things. So when you're like, oh, remember this? And then I'll look it up on Google and then it says, oh, it's closed or it's temporarily closed or something. So it's either memory or you haven't been there for a minute. But we're very excited to have you come back to Missouri. And we're going to have you headline, which is great. Over at Helium Comedy Club, the city and the state, we're all happy to be. We're going to call the governor. It's going to be great. So don't worry about it.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
The governor, I don't know. Maybe leave the governor out.
Maybe leave the governor out, you know.
Also, I think I remember I was going to be there in April, but it's now May 3rd and 4th.
Just kidding.
I had to look it up. Like I said, it's like, all right, wait.
Well, we're going to rewind on back. So if you were excited about April, forget about it. If you're still going to be in St. Louis in May.
Hang out.
You know what? Just hang out. Maybe just stay. If you were coming like all the way here to St. Louis in April for this show, just like stay an additional month, see some other comedians, and then we'll be having Alex at Helium Comedy Club May 3rd and 4th.
Comedy's the best.
Yeah, comedy's the best. Helium Garage. You love comedy. What made you decide to get into comedy? Like what made that, you know, be your choice?
So whenever I ask like comics or comics tell me when they started, I'm always like, well, what happened? Because I feel like people, you know, you don't really start doing stand up when things are going great, when you've got so much else going on that's exciting you. So what happened to me, and nothing like happened, I dropped out of college, you know, after like one semester and was very like, well, what am I going to do? I want to do something interesting. I, you know, had looked into doing stand up like while I was in high school, even. I was really like thinking I was going to do something around that. I went to school to kind of try and get like a screenwriting degree. But I was a terrible student and it was like, not gonna go that direction for me. Like, you know, oh man, even film students are like good at things and not lazy. So I don't know. It was fine. It wasn't my time to go to school. I did eventually go back, honestly. So I was 18 and I moved in with my dad in New York, and which is like where I was born, but I grew up in Massachusetts. And so I moved to New York. My dad kind of convinced me like that would be a better move than Mass, and, you know, makes sense, New York City. So I started hitting mics. It was one of the things I did in that time, like right after like the beginning. I mean, it was aging me, you know, and certainly as a comedian, but the beginning of 2005. So like going to bartending school, 18 years old. I started kind of trying to go on like not even backstage auditions, like Craigslist auditions, thinking maybe get into acting to try and write screenplays. And I started doing stand up. And stand up, you know, I think it's going to stick. I'm just kidding. I've been doing it forever. So, I mean, I got into it right away. I was like always into stand up comedy. And once it was like accessible to me, I'm starting to find places back home in Massachusetts and started, you know, going out all the time in New York. And eventually, you know, you're just living on your own, doing, you know, doing stand up, trying in the New York scene, you know, you're just out there, people do it. and then I, you know, my quick story is then I moved to Philly and went back to school and kind of living in a different pond, type of place. And then kind of split the difference. And now I'm in New Jersey. So kind of always been in that Northeast area, based out of there. You know, travel the country, get into places, do your thing, you know, different projects. You know, but that's how I started, is I dropped out and kind of needed something that was going to be like creatively productive and exciting. Stand up was the thing.
Oh, I love that. You're like, what happened? Because it is kind of true to think about, right? Like, you're
everyone has one.
Yes,
I think every comic. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's always, yeah, my go-to. But yeah, and I mean, happened for dropping out. It's like, well, that didn't like happen to you, but I think it still fits.
Yeah, you know. I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, just life, yeah. Like, well, life happened. That's how I always think about it. It's just like, right. Maybe if you, it's self-inflicted or not, it's life, it's a journey, as deep as that may sound for a comedic podcast. But what I do find that interesting, because, you know, my mom's from Queens, and so I do get that side from her where, you know, about the fast-paced life. So even though I grew up in Cincinnati, I definitely had a different upbringing compared to probably like most people in the Midwest. So it was, you know, there's always like a fast-paced hustle with New Yorkers a lot, which is why I wanted to ask you, when you first decided to move to New York, how did you navigate, you know, especially to a lot of people move to New York for multiple reasons, right? Like there's, you know, it's like the place of opportunity for, you know, theater or comedy, and especially in entertainment. When you were there, you know, how did you just like hit the pavement running? Like, what was it? What was just kind of like your day-to-day life while you were trying to, you know, balance work and go to mics and try to get on shows and things like that?
Well, like I was really young, you know, mm-hmm. and I was able to kind of, you know, be that kind of malleable, I guess, or something flexible, you know, you bounce back.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, different things, different years, you know, I probably spent those first like 6 years in New York. Right. And so by the time I was like really in it, I would say, so I was working like, you know, a day job at this warehouse, you know, for like their internet, you know, it's honestly even not that it was like, this would be so long ago or something like that, where it's not like it was the 80s, but, yeah. or even the 90s, but like, if you can believe it, this company like had a very small web portion, so like they, you know, had a bunch of stores around the country, and you know, but like boutique, so like 12, you know, and around the country, and that was the warehouse. We were in the whole warehouse, but I worked for the website, and so it was just like a really easy kind of gig, like appealing, mm-hmm. you know, that type of job. So because you kind of, I didn't have to like unload trucks very often,
yeah.
you know,
yeah, exactly. Like
I help
right.
out a little bit, but it wasn't like my job.
yeah,
my job was like shipping web orders, right?
Oh,
it's like simpler. So I was able to do that, you know, 9 to 5. I was part-time, and I went full-time, and then, you know, just like any job that someone who dropped out of college living in New York City might get. And you know, no major aspirations over there. And then I would just do stand up at night, and you're just hitting mics and shows. And at that time, like, there were a good amount of mics, and there were certain places that were really like picking up steam. You know, this is like up until about 2010. So like 2005 to 2010, give or take, there were like a few new comedy clubs in Manhattan. There was like the Creek in the Cave, which I feel like people have probably heard of, maybe have heard of, that moved down to Austin after COVID, like we were just talking mm-hmm. about, mm-hmm. but they were in Queens. They were, yeah. you know, in Queens. So yeah, spent a lot of time at the Creek. I mean, you start running shows and you learn that skill a little bit, you know, starting to get that kind of stuff with different people. Lots of different, like, you know, learning experiences. I think certain things were just younger at the time, and so we didn't do as many podcasts, although it sure. happened. People mm-hmm. experimented, but it was more like there were a lot of indie bar shows. There mm-hmm. were a fair amount of open mics, and there were these kind of locations like the Creek in the Cave or Comics in NYC, plus the other clubs that you would hang out at, you
yeah.
know, and or you, uh-huh. or you would perform at, but like it would be a part of your night mm-hmm. to just like bounce around. You know, so stuff like that. I was taking improv at one point.
Oh, okay, like cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Super deep into improv, but I did like intern at the People's Improv Theater for classes.
Oh, okay,
so
cool. Yeah.
I did that for like a year and did 3 levels-ish, you know, like that kind of thing. I probably like interned for a year and did 3 levels, but like 2 of them were, I don't remember exactly, but I spent like a year as an intern there. You just like spent Sunday nights there, and Sunday nights were kind of dead, and there was a stand-up show on Sunday nights sometimes, and
okay.
so I would every now and again get thrown up on that. And as a comic who was doing like stand-up even 3 or 4 years at that point, that was huge mm-hmm. for me. And like there were, you know, to get a spot on a good show in a like randomly, like last minute that I hadn't been thinking about for so long.
It's yeah.
Like, oh, you just let me go up and do my thing. Great. So, yeah, it was a lot of just like trying to get, I was so focused on like getting better.
Yeah.
You know,
for
I was
sure.
So obsessed with the idea of like, there's this, you know, place you get to, mm-hmm. which then like, I think I learned a little, it's not quite my philosophy as much these days. I'm trying to get worse. No, I'm just kidding. But, you
we'll
know,
just have to see it on May 3rd and 4th at Helium. It'll be great.
So great. Yeah, I mean, I try to be funny and have fun out there. Obviously, I was trying to get better. But as a when I was that young and like going through New York like that and seeing people that I was like, these are some of the funniest people I've ever seen in my life. And we're all struggling. You know, it's definitely a different mindset. And I kind of at one point got out of that and was like, I'm going to move to a smaller scene, mm-hmm. you know. I was like, if I stay in New York, I'll be in New York City my entire life and I'll know almost nothing else than
yeah.
what this grind, quote unquote, mm-hmm. is like. And so I moved to Philly and life was like similar, but much different and like more accessible. And I just kind of felt like I had to spread my wings a little bit more. You know, I was out of the cocoon.
Yes.
And I was emulate. What is it? You know, what do butterflies do? They do stuff.
Yeah, they do something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's some science word I can't think of.
Yeah. Anyway. I get your point. I get your point.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to, kind of hear about, like, because you said you were in the Northeast area. So, like, obviously in New York, it's just very much, you know, as you said, like, there's that certain, like, New York grind. So I was just curious how, like, Philly and New Jersey compared to what you experienced in New York. Like, do you find, like, I guess, like, is, you know, obviously it's, like, different scenes, different states, obviously, but do you feel maybe it's similar or, you know, do they compare? Are there maybe some differences in the three?
I think both of those things, they're definitely similar. Like I've seen a lot of scenes and been mm-hmm. to a lot of cities doing stand up. So, and like, I try and get involved. I like the scene stuff. I like going to, you know, big scenes like Denver and small scenes like, you know, Albuquerque or New Orleans even can sometimes be a little small or mid-sized mm-hmm. and being like, what's the scene like around here? I want to pick everyone's brain. Even some, like I live in Jersey City, which is right outside New York City. Mm-hmm. And there's really like a different scene in Asbury Park. And mm-hmm. like, there's a different scene certainly in South Jersey. And I like picking those guys' brains about what's going on that I don't see every day.
Yeah.
And maybe only see once in a blue moon. You know, and I like talking that kind of stuff and going like, there's something here, you know, there's more here that can be done, blah, blah, blah. So with Philly, where I kind of learned some of those lessons and stuff, comparing it to New York, Philly was like, there were less mics to do, but the mics and shows were pretty good. Plus there was this whole suburban thing. So like a week there in Philly for years for me, I was there maybe another 6+ years, was, you know, Sunday through Thursday, you're doing, you know, the mics that have audience, you're doing like a couple of monthly shows or a lot of monthlies in the city.
Yeah.
And then there's like suburban shows on the weekends. And so you're kind of doing these one nighters and they're close by. And then there's two clubs in town. So there's a Helium and a Punchline. So if you get past there, but even if you don't, because they do showcases and stuff, like they do third-party produced shows, so there's more opportunity than you even might think sometimes. Like certainly if you're there for years, like things come up. And I found like Philly to be really a great city to be in, and you're kind of, you can do tons of other Pennsylvania stuff. Like Pennsylvania is huge mm-hmm. and has all these big pockets of populations and big pockets of like little cities.
Yeah.
That a lot of people go to and do stuff in. And then they all look at Philadelphia. Sometimes like Baltimore, if you're more centralized and stuff, like Baltimore's mm-hmm. pretty north, right? So in Maryland, so it's right by the border over there. But they look at Philly for comics. So,
nice.
You know, you do all that kind of stuff. And even you go to Maryland, you go to Delaware and You go to Jersey, you're 2 hours from New York. So you can stay pretty busy, just as like a regional comic is what I said all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a regional comic over here. And I got to like quit my day job and stuff. I mean, like I said, I went back to college. So I was in college while I was there, like part time and then full time. But I, you know, rent was cheap. I was making some money, my pocket, you know, going to a state school and just kind of doing the thing. And, you know, trying to get something done. So by the time I graduated, I was still there and just kind of like really living as a comic and trying to hit it pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually moved up to Jersey, knowing like kind of back close to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Philly loves Philly, and like you can kind of like stay in Philly, but you know, you might not do tons of other stuff all the time. Like I certainly wasn't going to New York as much by the end as I was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of moved back up, and Jersey's its own version of what Philly and New York are. It's like a mixture between the two. So there's lots of one-nighters driving all over this dense state of New Jersey. And yeah, do tons of one-nighters around there. And then you're still like close to Newark Airport. Like I'm a 15-minute drive from Newark Airport. It's international mm-hmm. airport.
Nice.
It's even easier flying out now than it was when I lived in North Philly.
Oh, wow. And, okay. Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. it's like so easy to fly and not have to deal with like LaGuardia or JFK. I mean, like things like yeah. that matter.
Yeah.
So you know, when you're talking about like a scene sometimes, like there's, you can be in the scene the whole time, but sometimes it's about how can you get out of that scene? Everyone wants to do as different stuff. And so like we see the same people all the time out here too, just like in Philly, whereas in New York, it's less of that. You see a lot of different people
mm-hmm.
and then a lot of, like all the time, you can go months without seeing some of your best friends at
oh, wow,
nights
yeah.
and shows. Like you mm-hmm. just, there's so many comics and, but you know what, you get wind up knowing like everybody any a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And then Jersey is like, we have our own thing. We feel like we're a buddy of mine in Jersey City. You know, likens it to the Sopranos. We're a glorified crew, you know.
I love it.
So yeah, exactly. Like it's like we have our own scene, you know. But yeah, and like of Jesse Montanez's people with plenty of good Sopranos references to
yes.
talk about our scene. But yeah, it's everybody goes to the city. Obviously, goes to mm-hmm. New York plenty, you know, and New York's got tons of clubs and tons of bar shows and
mm-hmm.
mics if you know want to do them and stuff. But yeah, it, so I mean, all those are different. I mean, I've noticed different scenes in every place. They're all a little different.
Sure.
Like I don't know exactly what goes on at some St. Louis stuff, but I remember like in Philly, I still know this. I mean, most mics in Philly do two halves. They do like a break
mm-hmm.
and then they almost always play people on to music. And it's not every time,
oh,
every
okay.
night, mm-hmm. but a lot of them do, to the point where you just would think of, you wouldn't think to not do it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And like places like DC, they tend to be booked mics. I remember noticing that was a lot of like email to sign up and then it's a booked open mic. And things like that just alter a scene. A lot of them base things off what the club does, you know, and then the shows become kind of versions of that.
Yeah.
And then it's a defining factor.
Yeah. No, this is all very yeah. like familiar because it's no, I appreciate you explaining that just because sometimes, you know, in the Midwest, I always ask, especially when people are coming from whether it be on the West Coast or the Northeast, I always like to have people explain it just because here, you know, sometimes we're just so used to, you know, things being a certain way. So it's interesting to hear like, oh, like the Northeast, it's not all the same, right? Like there's different pockets of different right. people. Cause I think sometimes people will be like, oh, the Northeast or like, oh, everything's LA. And like, that's not how it is. You know, like we
right.
in the, yeah, exactly. Like, in, like if you go to Chicago, it's going to be different from St. Louis, of course. But then sometimes people are like, oh, but they're both in the Midwest. And I'm like, they're both very different scenes. So it's, yeah. Yeah. And then I run, my friend started it, my friend Chris Sear, but I run the St. Louis Independent Comedy website. And so that it's kind of like what you talked about, where we have mics where they're club mics where you have to sign up in person. We have a lot of sign up in person just because I don't know if we're necessarily during the pandemic, we did a lot of online signups and things like that. But now it's just more like we want you to come show up. Now, sometimes you can show up and maybe you won't get on the list. And that's more for certain clubs and whatnot. But yeah, we have a lot of just like what you talked about, like independent mics. I run one at the Golden Hoosier just right up the street from here. And we do that on a Sunday night. And it's like every second Sunday, we've got like monthly shows. And it's not just me. There's just a bunch of people. So it's definitely like what you said, too, where there's a mixture of like you've got some suburban right. shows too as well. Definitely have done those too. And it's always interesting to see the difference. I used to live in St. Louis City, and now that I live in the county, it's interesting when you're doing shows in the city and what material you're bringing versus when you go into the county and what material you're bringing there and what their reactions are going to be to either one. So it was really cool that you explained that. And like, and speaking of shows, we could talk about all different places in the country all day. But one of the things it said on your email that you are the host of Weeding Out the Stoned, the game sobriety test. What is this about?
So this is a thing that started while I was in Philly.
Okay.
Kind of experimenting with like game shows. And mm-hmm. this one like stuck. I've been doing it like coming up on 9 years. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's Weeding Out the Stoned, the game show of sobriety tests. I have about, I've done it anywhere between like 4 people and 20 people.
Wow.
And
okay.
Everyone is high except one person. And so, yeah. And so we play a series of sobriety test games
mm-hmm.
and the audience will eliminate people that they think are high, to try and leave the one sober person left alone on stage at the end. So it's a live show that I bring out to different comedy clubs. I mean, I've played movie theaters and all sorts of places, you know.
Oh, like movie theater too? Oh, wow. How cool is that?
Like plenty. Oh, yeah. Like, like independent cinema places and things like that, like in a kooky city, you know. I'm just, I had a head out and hit every hippie town in America that I could find.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah. So, it's a show I've been just touring around for a long time. We used to do it in Philly twice a month, I guess, for probably the first several years. Yeah, probably about 4 years, actually. We were mm-hmm. doing it twice in Philly at this place. It was like a small independent comedy venue called Good Good Comedy Theater.
Okay. The name. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. They also like ended during the pandemic and stuff. they live on in lots of other things around Philly and even around people have moved around the country. And there were lots of shows like this. So mm-hmm. there were lots of different, you know, creative, high concept gimmick shows that were, you know, based on television mm-hmm. formats more than stand up or improv or sketch. Kind of one of the running things was like pitch a show that isn't exclusively stand up, sketch or improv. Eventually they did, you know, when the theater opened, they did exclusively those things. But initially it started as a festival where every show was $5 and they were all brand new.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And big hit. And the third one, I think they did 3 within 12 months or 13 months. The third one I pitched Weeding Out the Stoned, and I had already done different game shows and stuff. I did like a curse word game show. I did a political season in an hour, you know, so different things like that to varied successes. And we did Weeding Out the Stoned, and it just immediately was a big hit.
Nice.
And yeah, tons of fun. It's a fun show. I still do it. I have shows on 420, 2 shows I'm doing 420 Saturday, 420,
nice.
420 p.m. at Helium in Philly. And then I'm going up to a movie theater in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, and we're doing a 9 p.m. show.
How cool is that, though? And I like all that you're doing it in like a variety of different venues as well, too. So it expands out to multiple audiences. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I've been doing it all over the country. I think there's been a Weeding Out the Stoned in, I think, it used to say like 14 recreational states and Delaware, but Pennsylvania too, where they are the two states that haven't made weed legal yet. But you know, I grew up in Massachusetts. The Mass is one of those places. Done a bunch in Mass, bunch in all over New England. I've gone to Denver. I've gone to Oregon. I've gone to L.A. and San Francisco and a bunch of places that you would kind of think of. New Mexico.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that. I haven't done Arizona yet. Like now, legalization is catching up to me. There was a time where I was ahead of them and I had done like a bunch of states before they legalized it. And now there's places like Arizona where it's like, it's legal there. You know, I could totally do a weeding without any
trouble.
There you go.
Trouble. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We did Richmond, Virginia once. And I was like,
oh, wow. I
like posted about it and someone tagged the Richmond Police Department.
Wait, oh my God. That's like so mean. What?
I was so mean. I was like, Virginia. You have medical marijuana.
Wait, did they say anything? Did the like? Did they write a comment? Or they?
No, it's nothing's ever happened. That's the closest I've ever gotten to getting in trouble. Someone tagging the Facebook page of the Richmond Police Department.
Like was it somebody you knew, or was it just like?
No, it was some random person in Richmond.
You know. Fuck that.
Yeah, delete.
Yeah, block, do all the things, including the police department. Yeah, love it. Oh, how cool is that, though? Oh, sorry, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, it's just a fun show. Usually people are cool, that's all I'm saying. You know, people are like, that's great. I'm there. So, you know, most people aren't like, I'm calling 911 immediately. I've had venues that are clearly like, we're nervous, and we can't, you know. Mm-hmm. I've had people even being like, well, you can't smoke in the theater. And you're like, well, obviously that's not what the show is. Or they just assume that you're like, no, we'll take it over and we'll just hotbox your whole building. And you're like, nah, dude, we'll go to someone else's apartment or around the corner or whatever.
And then we'll show up. Yeah.
And then we'll jump, smell reeking of weed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. When I read it in your email, I was like, this is a really interesting idea. And I was like, I have to know what the layout of this is. But I love that there is a show that's starting in near where I live in St. Charles, and they're trying to do a show in a theater. So I don't know if it's going to be I don't know what it's going to be yet. But yeah, there's only when I first started comedy, I did a show in a movie theater one time. It wasn't weed related, but it is interesting when you're like, oh, I'm standing in front of the screen just doing comedy for people. But it's cool. It's cool. I love that they're doing that. And then speaking of venues,
movie theaters. Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. We were talking about movie theaters. I was just saying, speaking of venues, just make sure to come to the Garage Helium on May 3rd and 4th. That was going to be my big plug. Yes.
Awesome.
Speaking of things too that you have been seen on, we will segue. You've got some also. Other than your weed credits, you do have some really big, which are really awesome and, you know, should be identified and recognized. You said you were on Comedy Central. You even have MTVU and SiriusXM. You know, Comedy Central, you know, people are, you know, are familiar with Comedy Central, especially if you follow comedy. What was that like transition? Like, obviously, we talked about kind of like indie shows and open mics and whatnot. And a lot of times, you know, if not all the time, with being in comedy, you definitely want to work your way up to being on Comedy Central. So what was it like getting that call or email or however you found that happen? You know, did you just jump out of your seat? Like, what happened?
I mean, it was very exciting. But no, nothing like should be. So I've done stand up on MTVU. I've done sketch on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
So as a, you know, kind of like getting into that world, like I brought up the pit earlier and like, it was another scene I was like involved in, and there was a sketch show on Comedy Central, and I got to like do some sketch and nothing too crazy. Like,
how cool is that though?
Not writing sketches. I wasn't like the main, but I did some like College Humor stuff too, which is kind of like not as current, you know, but maybe in the same way as like Comedy Central is obviously still a network, but yeah. And like that TV show, obviously the watch list is not like on. But currently, but yeah, I know, right? It's like so exciting just like being getting some of that stuff like I was talking about earlier, how you just want to, you know, develop and get better. And like, what does it mean to get to whatever place you're trying to get to? And obviously, like you know, I mean, maybe not obviously. Stand-up is like my first love for sure. I love doing like a lot of these improv things, weeding out the stoned is improv. I like game shows. I like host stuff, even if it's not, you know, hosting a stand-up show or do it or acting kind of. I mean, I like writing too, but I can host a thing, you know. I've like been hired to host random things just for someone else's, you know, thing. And there was a time I was certainly more focused on kind of even trying to become the host of a game show that maybe I didn't produce, you know, and
yeah, sure,
getting into that world. So yeah, kind of being involved in like the pit was how that kind of happened. And it, you know, again, I was really young, and you get to like do some sketches, kind of got me into the college humor world, which was like a bunch of stuff that wasn't just like, you know, a couple of day shoots. Was like come up pretty often. And you know, they were, you know, that was pretty big at the time. MTVU was kind of like a thing that happened in Philly, where they had a, there was a TBS partnership that I was like involved in that was like live events.
Oh, wow.
And so like they would do, again, this is kind of in that hosting world. So like I did it, and then they would come back, and like, it was like team based based on your college and stuff. It was like a college thing. Mm-hmm. That TBS and I forget the other company, Rooftop Comedy and stuff.
Okay.
Which used to be like, they used to release a lot of albums. I'm sure they're still out there in some capacity. But I was like getting involved in them, with them. I wasn't an intern, but you know, you get involved. I did it 1 year, at least 1 year. And then you're kind of coming back for other things and helping them, you know, set up. And you're kind of traveling to other schools in the area. And I don't know, it's like a whole to do, truth be told, but very involved in one way or the other. But again, through people that I met there, you know, there was a pretty short time period, 3 or 4 years, like, cause I was part-time and then full-time. So I was at school for a while, like the whole time I lived in Philly almost. Mm-hmm. And so they, I can't remember if somebody moved to MTVU. I must have happened that way. But anyway, someone at MTVU was doing this, another college kind of showcase and show. And so I like got involved. Like I did stand up, I was doing it, but I also was as kind of like a senioritis person, a super senior. But I also helped them like put it together. And so that was like really great to be like, these are the people that should be on this episode. Mm-hmm. And kind of, we went through various audition processes and kind of stuff, nothing too catastrophic and stuff, but we like threw a show and they filmed it and they interviewed people. And it was an episode in this series on MTVU that they had, you know, kind of college comics. And so that was like a really cool thing too. Like I got to watch it in the cafeteria, you know, because like that's what MTVU is for, is you know, they
how cool is that though? You're just like, oh, you know? Hi.
Yeah, isn't that funny? So just a funny thing, like kind of in as a comic that was very like involved in stand-up, like going back to school, like stuff like that was also super meaningful, you know. And just exciting.
Yeah.
And then and Sirius, like same as this, you know, you kind of like wind up knowing people and you kind of start doing stuff to promote various shows, you know, just on a show and someone's like, we have a slot at Sirius that, you know, you're on if you can make it, you know, what's your schedule, that kind of thing. Can we make this happen? And then in addition to that, I have like an album out and like, you know, you get a couple of plays. Like I've, if you can't tell, a lot of college material that sometimes gets played around the school year, you know, going back to school stuff. And yeah, so you kind of wind up on those channels. Like I can be pretty clean too. So you can, there's kind of like clean and dirty channels and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of how like those are some of the catchable things too that I put people in emails.
I think it's great. No, well, I also even if it's catchable, sure, like people know what those things are, but what I liked is that we talked about all the independent work that you did first, because I feel like sometimes, and I was just talking about this, like I told you I went to New York over the weekend, and it was crazy to me because there's a lot of times you'll look through programs when you go to shows, like I was at a Broadway show And I'm looking through it, and a lot of it is just like credits. They're Tony this, they do this, that, boom, 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 done. And sometimes you kind of want to know, like, I know there's a joke being like, well, who cares where you come from? It's like, where you end up. But it is kind of cool to hear, like, oh, hey, like, I didn't just show up in New York or show up in Philly or just, you know, like, I mean, you showed up, obviously. But at the same time, you applied yourself, which I think is great. And you worked very hard to get to those points. So, yes, like, is Comedy Central, like, well, people will know that, of course. Or SiriusXM, like, anytime I run a car, it's in there. Like, you know, like,
exactly right.
You know, people know, and that's fine. But it is something to be recognized, which leads me into you mentioned your comedy album with Helium Comedy Records, which we have a lot of people that come on here that get albums through Helium Records, and that's great. I feel like we're going to be able to get the answer to this with all the stuff that you've talked about, but how early on did you decide you were like, hey, like, did you wait maybe later to get your comedy record out, or was it a little bit earlier you decided to do that? When did that start for you?
I kind of waited. I definitely was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, yeah.
Yeah, just, I waited. Mm-hmm. I was really into, it wasn't like right after they had started the label or anything. It was something mm-hmm. that like I was, you know, working towards once they kind of, you know, there was that opportunity was probably going to present itself. I had been interested in like kind of doing an album a little earlier than that. I had one of these things in my head. At the time, again, like this is kind of one of those, it was a different time,
yeah. You know, things.
But I had it in my head of I didn't want to self-produce it. And I'm not afraid of self-producing stuff, but like I just, it's a tech thing that I just kind of sometimes don't always wrap my head around.
And that's okay, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. It is what it is. And so I was very like, I want to put an album out on a label and not just do it independently for the at least the first time. And, you know, you deal with different companies and you get different experiences. I'd had only positive experiences with the people at Helium and everyone that they work with. Like I really,
everybody
like,
always says that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I used to remember like talking to people in the green room, like young comics, and then they'd be like, things are going well. And it's just like, it doesn't get much better than this. Like, it's not like there's other comedy club chains that are so much more phenomenal than Helium. I mean, there are great clubs out there. They're not, Helium learned it from somebody, but they're doing it right. Like, they do things really well. And so even the label, process, the album process, fantastic, you know, really loved those guys. And so I mean, when that came about and was like, let's do this, I was basically already feeling ready. I had been thinking about it like a long time. There was maybe a period like earlier, like a couple years earlier, that I also could have done it at, I mean, and been like, this is a point in my life and career, like when I graduated college and was like, kind of, I could have felt free from a lot of that material, not mm-hmm. all of it, obviously, like you develop. But when I was putting something down, I really was like, this is the act I want to put down that I've already built, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, used and stuff like that. And so then, yeah, it was a crazy experience, just like in ways that I wouldn't have necessarily anticipated. It was super smooth and fun. Like I didn't really have any issues, major issues going on. It was very cool. You know,
where did you record it? Where is the,
at Helium Philly. Yeah.
Philly. Okay. Fine. Mm-hmm, got
yeah.
It.
Philly's
mm-hmm.
Helium. Just kind of came about. I was already living in Jersey, so I was like in other mindsets. Again, just kind of came up and was like, yeah, I'm saying yes to this. I've been wanting to do this for a while. I feel ready to, I don't feel nervous about it, other than excitement nervous, and like I want to do it. And
yeah,
but I wasn't like, what am I gonna do? It was kind of like, you know, right, I've got right. material that is ready to be recorded. This is great. And yeah, and then that kind of like, not just because I do, you know, you it doesn't, it matters, obviously, it's getting documented. And a lot of sets you do, they're not really recorded. So they're for you to get better and like entertain. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want to do well and like have the crowd do well. But like, you know, I'm not famous. People aren't going to be like, I've heard that joke before. It's like, you know, so I'm maybe around my town. And so I try and do that. But like, you know, when you're doing 45 minutes or whatever.
But this is going to be your moment on, you know, May 3rd and 4th at Helium Comedy Club. They're going to remember your jokes, Alex. Okay. So don't put yourself
down.
And
it is all different than that album. So, I mean,
but
that's what I mean is that, you know, not thinking about things in that way of like, it was my first album. So I had recorded like little pieces here and there for things, but not like like that. And so then to move on from it immediately and be like, okay, I'm like back to work and I have to have all new material in my mind, you know, instead of build up to that, you know, it was like an interesting thing that I didn't like anticipate in the same way of, oh, I'm not the same comic I am than when I started day one, where, you know, you just have no opportunities or whatever, or like looking for any, you know, foot in the door kind of stuff. And then it's like, oh, I am on the road. Like, you know, I gotta like do some sets. And so, you know, it was definitely like an interesting thing that took some, you know, certainly a lot of writing and like just getting used to, because, you know, you have these jokes and you use them, you know, you use them as things you need. I need to pick the crowd up. I need to do this. I need to do that. You know, I need to fill time and entertain. And there's, you know, you're looking for your new, you know, thing that you could throw out there, that new sweet weapon or whatever.
Exactly.
Something in your arsenal. So, I mean, it was great. And part of me wishes wishes maybe a strong word, but I liked the process. So I was kind of also like, oh, I could do this again. And I maybe would have wished I did it sooner. Like, could I have done it sooner? I think it would have been fine. You know, there are things like that where I think, in my head, I had all these things about a record label and beyond that. And really I could have just been like, yeah, I'm going to do it on pavement, like finding a small label that can help me through this process. Even if it was like an indie label,
sure, that's one person, for sure.
There's probably another way than just like waiting for it to happen, which is kind of what eventually happened in its way. I don't know.
Cool. No, I think that's great. No, I just wanted to ask about how you got to that point. I think it's great that it happened in Philly because you have all, especially that's a great full circle. Now here you are on the Casually Molly podcast while you're sitting in Philly. So there you go.
Yeah, I know, totally.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We loved hearing about Philly and all the things that, you know, between New York and Jersey City. I feel like, honestly, I think what's going to make your shows great on the 3rd and the 4th at Helium Comedy Club Garage in St. Louis is I feel like with your experience, and now I'm definitely going to go listen to your album, very well-rounded. Like, I feel like you know all sides. Like, you've seen, like, the kind of high-end industry, if you will, with Comedy Central and MTVU, like, all the things that you see that people are like, oh my gosh, you know, you're a star. And then also at the same time, you have a sweet spot for, you know, doing shows in movie theaters and, you know, finding different clubs and, you know, coming when you were 18 and then going back in. You seem like you have like a lot of life experience, which will definitely come out in your act. So if I can make it, I will definitely be there at the show. Before we go, first of all, thank you again for coming on the podcast. This has been so fun. Love getting to know you. We always ask, and I know this is kind of like a generic question, as we talked about earlier, before we even started recording. But what is like maybe some casual advice that you would give to anybody, maybe to your younger self that maybe you didn't know now when approaching comedy that you would say?
Approaching comedy? Yeah, specifically, I would say, I mean, obviously, there's the things that people always say, right? Yeah. Like there's get up on stage as much as you can. I think it's like, just try to be creative in as many ways as possible, especially now, but it's worked for me and I don't even feel like a Gen Z person that's making TikToks and stuff, but I know lots of people that are.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many things that you can do. There's an old showbiz saying that, like, you know, comedy finds a place for you. And I think there's something about that that can be really true, where you're, you know, if you're trying lots of different things, there's lots of places that you can be. And, you know, again, kind of maybe my story might fit this too, is like, you're probably not going to be in one place your whole life, especially these days. It's not like the, you know, even people stay as head writer of the Tonight Show or whatever for 20 years, like they maybe once did. People bounce around, they do different jobs, they do lots of gigs. And it kind of goes back to like getting on stage as much as possible. It's the world is a stage. You know,
oh, there are, so Shakespeare. Okay.
Many things you can do. Right. I always liked getting creative and like pitching lots of ideas and like pitch to your friends and your of the other comics, make some stuff, you know, getting stuff down on paper, documented, recorded is really always good. Like try to make it good. Like also you want it to be good, but that's part of it. You know, it's not just like throwing yourself out there and hoping that you're okay at it. Like try, but
yeah, exactly.
You know,
make the attempt. Sure.
But yeah, make the attempt, you know, execute. And yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like, do as much as possible. You know, it's like, again, I could give that advice to my old self. I can still take that advice, you know?
See, you were the first person that has ever said that. I love that because it's like, oh, my younger self. Now I'm just, you know, and not, and I'm not trying to shit on any of other guests, but I think that's great that you said that. And then do you, I know we said comedy related and you're like, oh, comedy specifically, do you have a specific piece of life advice that you wanted to share as well that you would also now as well as to your younger self?
Yeah, that I would also, I mean, definitely one of those things like, I think about your life first, like, you know, like, obviously, I was in New York, and I still go to New York all the time. And I'm like, you know, New York, New York, New York, I was born there. But like, people are, there's an obsession with New York and comedy in one way. Obviously, I'm not the only person to be like, there's comedy in New York. My boy, howdy, there's comedy in New York. Like, I used to say to young comics, like, well, would you, you know, when they mention, oh, LA, New York, Denver, wherever, what would you want to move there if you weren't a comedian? Because I think there is some of that where it's so tunnel vision about it. And I mean, I've been there for sure. But there is an aspect of like, how's your living situation go? Do you like know people there? Are you trying to make friends? Are you able to live, attain a lifestyle that is comfortable? You know, more comfortable than the way you probably are living at 22, you know? You know, so I think things like that, like how when I was coming in, I love Philadelphia, you know, I love living here and I still love coming here and I love being close by and aww, that kind of thing because it's one of my favorite places. So
nice.
I think it's important to think about that kind of stuff, the everything else part and not just like, you know, that one place that you, you know, everybody's a fan of something, right?
Yes.
So like that thing that you're a fan of, getting obsessed with that, you don't have to do that. There's plenty of things out there, you know. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
What you are just a great answer. I love it. Final question. Final question.
Sure.
So we're plugging this show, right? And if you listen to the first half of this episode, don't worry. We're going to have a, if you, you probably have heard the forward that I'm going to have before this correcting the date. So that way, when you start listening to the episode, we're not in April. It's going to be May 3rd and 4th at Helium Comedy Club. I know we plugged the show. And then before we were recording, I was saying, is there anything you want to casually add about the show that maybe we didn't mention while on the podcast?
Oh yeah. So I'm, you know, we're into our Jersey thing that we've got going on. I'm bringing, two comics with me that are a part of a sketch troupe also, actually.
Nice.
They're standups. They're great. They're younger than me. but they're very funny comics. Colin Armstrong and Keegan Tindall. They have a sketch troupe, Dim Boopers. And yeah, I'm excited to, you know, take these guys on the road, for a couple of dates. We're doing St. Louis together. I think we're doing some Pennsylvania together. And yeah, just, great guys. I mean, I work with them in town all the time and I'm excited to bring them on the road. I think it's going to be, a really fun 90 minutes, you know, it'll be great.
Yeah. Are these the Sopranos?
No, they're not the Sopranos. They've got a little bit of Italian in them. They're not even the, yeah. You know, funny enough, they're the Sopranos would be, there are glorified crew for sure. You
all
know,
right, glorified crew, the Musketeers, we'll take it. We'll go to that point. It'll be great. 90 minutes, love it. Just make sure that you go and see Alice Grubarb at Helium Comedy Club May 3rd and 4th, everybody. Okay, just go look at the website. His picture is there. Yeah. It's fine. Again, Alex, thank you so much. I said final question, but this is really the final question. Now that our episode has ended, what are you going to casually do now?
I think me and my old roommate are actually going to go grab a drink, maybe some food. I think
absolutely.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay, yeah. Get some citywide. Hey, there you go.
Get a citywide, classic Philly sandwich, maybe a roast pork with broccoli rabe, you know?
Oh my God, that sounds delicious, actually.
My babe. Everybody's obsessed with the cheesesteak, but the roast pork is my favorite.
Oh, going against the grain. I love it. Yeah. We got to call the police department now.
Please don't.
Or not. Please don't tag
Philadelphia.
It. We'll know when this episode comes out in like 2 days. Literally, if I get one tag, guys, you're going to get blocked. All right. Well, Alex, thank you so much. Go enjoy your sandwich and we will talk later. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.